Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talks Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yay!
Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Survivors, and welcome to episode 107 of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And I'm Kyle.
Kyle's back.
Hey.
Yay.
Oh, I feel like I've never left since I'm hearing your guys' voices every week, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we just have to say, oh, who am I kidding?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so well, you were on for our first first episode, sort of, what would we call it? First impressions.
Yeah.
You're on for the first impressions. But for those of you that do not listen to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, Kyle is a regular host on that show. And Kyle, we won't hear from Aaron tonight. So,
we'll miss you, Aaron. But hey, that's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because we basically some people only listen to us when we're talking The Walking Dead, and some of us only listen to us. At least the only one that we know of is Aaron, but for Fear of the Walking Dead, but. But anyway, we are here to discuss the mid-season finale, season 10, episode 8, titled The World Before. But before we get started, we've got a little bit of feedback for last week. That's season 10, episode 7, Open Your Eyes, time for Rick and Simon to say.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Well, I want to start with, I don't have it in the notes here, but I want to start with you, Kyle, since we haven't had you on for most of the season. What's your general impression been of this season so far?
I mean, I've enjoyed it a lot. I mean, there's been some moments where it's kind of like, I don't know, kind of that exciting, or, you know, like just is like kind of the story moving on or whatever. But I don't know. I feel like the way getting Alpha's backstory and then just the way they were portraying, or how she's being portrayed, or I guess, you know, how she's acting her part, like, yeah, has been very good this season. Like, yeah. I get a lot more of, like, I'm scared, you know, shitless, if I can use the word, like
that. Yeah.
You don't know what she's going to do. And just the whole dynamic that we're getting to see about the Whisperers. It's intriguing, and it makes me feel much more like, I guess the feelings of just like scared, concerned, all the stuff that I didn't really feel so much from Negan. Like, it's a different dynamic, because I guess since we have Negan already, you know, been through all that, and now he's kind of part of our group, or now he's not. But
yeah,
it's been an enjoyable season. So I'm definitely, you know, looking forward to what's coming in the back half.
Yeah. And I would say that Negan, yeah, we talked about it a few episodes back, like where I would say Negan is a sociopath and Alpha is a psychopath. And, you know, that whole thing where I think Alpha manipulates the people that she's ruling, but at the same time, you know, she doesn't necessarily fly to that same, straight straight rule. You know, she's just like, for example, the Lydia stuff. I mean, it's do as I say, not as I do, but it's more like do as I say and as I do, although what I've done isn't what you think I've done.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a much more like cultish following.
Yeah.
Than I would say like a Negan side of things that we've seen, because she is manipulating these people so much that they would literally be living and staying in Alexandria or some community, but yet they reject all that as that that's not like worth living and fighting or whatever for, when the rest of us are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I mean,
like, what was the guy that last episode that Carol beat the crap out of, the whisperer that she caught? Like, he's eating like toast and jam that I'm sure he's never had in like since probably before everything started, but yet that also like is, he'll reject that. Like, I'm sorry, but if you're given a piece of chocolate after 20 some odd years of not having a piece of chocolate, and that's gonna be like, I would rather choose that than like going to do whatever the whisperers do. I don't see how any human being could actually be that like
devoted.
Right.
Yeah. I've thought about this over the past week, and good time to mention, I think, is the difference between like why, say, Alpha and the Whisperers are really effective, and a similar group like the Wolves weren't as effective. And I think it has to do with psychopath versus insane. And I think the wolves, although they had certain, you know, aspects that were similar, they were different, because I really think that there was some insanity like going on there. They reacted in a way that just didn't seem normal, whereas in extreme situations, I wouldn't say I could want to walk like the Whisperers, but if that's what you thought was the only way of surviving, I could see people resorting to that. And it seems like there's a of sound mind going on with Alpha. I mean, she's psychopathic, but she knows what she's doing.
Right.
You know, she's aware of what she's doing, where I think the lead guy for the Wolves, like, did he have a name?
No.
Anyway, I really think that he was just crazy.
So, well, and that's kind of like with Negan and with Alpha, they have like structure still to all their, you know, they have an organization, they have like a chain of command, they have that kind of structure, you know, like deal that's what holds it all together. The Wolves, I don't think they really even had that, because it's like someone from the group just pop up and say, okay, now I'm taking over, and they'd be like, oh, okay, whatever. There was
and I remember saying this with Ruthie back in season six. The Wolves, I could see being that way years out. So if we had come across the Wolves, say, in season 10, 10 years into the apocalypse, I would believe that. And I would believe like Jadis's group a little more versus when we met them in the actual show, like 2 years on. So
good point.
You know, So it seems it's like seeing this group at this time seems more realistic. And for that matter, they have a system.
It's a crazy system, but it's a system.
It's a crazy system. Anyway, okay, well, I wanted, it's good that you're with us, and you know, we've missed you, and
we did.
I think not just us, but the listeners have. So, but it's good that you're here, because we can talk to Ken from Chicago, and I want to get your opinions. We had a discussion where last week, you know, he was saying, hey, you're always bringing up Fear the Walking Dead, and said it was really bad, but you never really explained yourself. So Mark and I kind of tried to explain ourselves a little bit. So he's got a response, but I wanted to get your take on it since normally you're not covering this show versus where you're covering Fear every week, but you're not covering this show every week.
Yeah.
But I should say you watch the show every week.
Yeah.
So anyway, he says, thanks for the invite to listen to your episodes of the podcast to find out details of the problems you've all had with hashtag Fear the Walking Dead the last few seasons, but I'm going to pass. And then he says, this food tastes terrible. Here, try some. Hashtag nope. Thumbs down and rolling over laughing face. And I will just say, before I get you to talk about it, I'll just say to him, Ken, I wasn't really expecting you to actually listen to the episodes, but then again, I didn't really expect when I mentioned something similar to Aaron for the Fear episodes for her to come and, listen to these episodes. But it's one of those things I didn't want to turn the show when we're talking about The Walking Dead to talk about the other show. Now we're going to be talking about the new spinoff later on a little bit, just a little tiny bit, but I would like to get your take on what it is that we didn't like about Fear versus what we like about The Walking Dead.
Well, I mean, it all started going to come down to just like the story and how the writers were writing their story and watching the characters that we love have to act out these stories that didn't really necessarily like really make sense or would be like, where they would draw you along for several episodes and you'd be asking these obvious questions like, why isn't this being mentioned? Like, what's going on here? Like, we kind of understand more than what our characters do. And then they would all of a sudden do the reveal and it would just be like so anticlimactic because it'd be just like, I don't know. We liked the characters, like that was what we, were there to watch to see how they were interacting. Just the normal thing that we watch on The Walking Dead. It's just like to see them go through whatever struggle, how they come, through it and how, whatever, just the normal character driven stories. But these character driven stories were so bad that it started making the characters that we love and the actors and actresses just look really, really bad.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Same here.
That was pretty much it. Like, we love this universe, and it was just seeing what they were doing in this universe, and it wasn't making any sense.
And it's worth saying, too, I mean, we have had issues in the past at times with this show doing, I wouldn't say exactly the same things, but similar things where we've seen them where they are, like, acting out of character or doing stupid things, like putting themselves in peril for no good reason. But it's different than what we see for that. We see, like, instead of the plot, like on this show, we would take exception where the characters are acting a certain way to move the plot versus the characters acting a certain way to move the story and they would act in character to move the story. This is the characters are acting in character, moving the story, but the story goes nowhere,
Yeah.
Like I said last week, it's like Highway to Heaven serialized. It's like, take one of those plots from Highway to Heaven or Kung Fu or The Incredible Hulk or something where they go and do this thing, but make it the whole season.
Yeah, it was meant for that particular episode, but not for the whole long story of it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It just to summarize and be brief about it, it stunk. Like, why did they in Fear last year, they get to that point, and it's like, oh, for the plot, we're going to change it right now, what they should have done from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it's at the very end of the episode. Mm-hmm. They could have done that about, like, 20 minutes before in the episode, yep. but they didn't. Yeah.
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 He continues, he says, I guess I'm the odd man out in thinking Carol made several big mistakes last episode. She saw Lydia's advice about how to break a whisperer was working, only to interrupt and remind the guy he was being watched. That's when he stonewalled. She used and was not open with Lydia. Thumbs down. Gabriel, of all people, was right. Carol made big decisions without consulting anyone, knowing full well that everyone else could pay the price for her actions, and she did it anyway. I could see if it was Magna, but Carol is usually more strategic. Then again, she's human too. I don't think you're alone on that, Ken. I thought that she was foolish not to get, like, opt-in from Lydia. I think it would have worked out a lot better. This is kind of that borderline thing where the characters do stupid things to move the plot. You know, and what they needed to do was to get Lydia to leave and not be safe anymore. And that's kind of what happened. So, that's where I take exception. Like what she should have done, what Carol should have done was say, hey, look, we want to expose the fact that you are still alive to a whisperer. Are you okay with that? You know, or get some kind of like level of what she's okay with and do that, you know, whereas Carol was just being stupid. Like, cause when she was brought to the cell, she knew that guy was there, didn't she? It was only when he started being sick that they kind of took her away, but I think she knew he was there, right?
Yeah,
I think she knew.
Yeah, I believe so. We also had something from Steve from Oklahoma City, our good friend Steve. He just says, okay, listening to the podcast now, I've already sent my voicemail for The World Before, so I just remembered and rewatched the scene Sadiq unbent the handle when he realized it had been bent, and he sent us a screen capture. Well, it's actually not a screen capture. It's a photo of his screen where it shows the handle all bent. Yes. All right. So let's move on to this week's episode, season 10, episode 8, The World Before, written by co-executive producer Julia Ruckman. This is her first episode of The Walking Dead that she's written. She is a co-executive producer for this season. She's also known for being a co-executive of The Sun, which is another AMC show that was Pierce Brosnan, I know, was in that. She wrote 5 episodes of that. She also wrote for American Odyssey, 7 episodes of Covert Affairs, 2 of episodes of The Troop, and also another show called The Assistants, none of which I've heard of.
Same here.
Yeah. The director is someone of note, and I have so much written for him, I cannot actually say it all. So I'm going to just highlight it, but John Dahl, D-A-H-L, he is the director this week, and he is a director of some renown, both of TV and film, but he's made most of his career in recent years as a TV director. The best thing that I've seen in here that I know him for was the next movie that Matt Damon made after Good Will Hunting, which was Rounders. He directed that. Hmm. Also Unforgettable with Ray Liotta. The Last Seduction, Red Rock West, and those I'm not going to give all of his things, but he's some of the things that he's directed for. He directed a new episode of that new Ronald D. Moore show on Apple Plus, Apple TV Plus, sorry, For All Mankind. This is his first episode of The Walking Dead. Two episodes of Yellowstone, 9 of Ray Donovan, and a ton of other stuff. Justified, The Good Doctor, House of Cards,
yeah,
House of Lies,
Battlestar Galactica,
Battlestar
Jessica Jones.
10 episodes of Californication.
Wow.
And Jessica Jones, The Strain, The Bridge, Person of Interest, Vampire Diaries, a ton of stuff. And that's not even half of it. So it's this first episode of this show. And one thing I noticed in his resume of shows, most of the places where he directs again. So he must be a guy that shows love to go to, because he seems to, if he's brought on, he goes back multiple times. So, you know, like even like that one Californication, 10 episodes of it. That's a lot. So yeah, he's actually a really good director. Wonder why it took him so long to direct Walking Dead.
Walking Dead, yeah.
Yeah. The description is, in the mid-season finale, a fight causes tensions in Oceanside while the Alexandrians set out on a high-stakes mission. What else is it going to do? All right. Kyle, I'm going to go to you first since you've been away, and let you give your rating first.
All right. Well, I gave it an 8 stabby stab stab Father Gabriel's out of 10. That scene was just insane.
Yes, it was. Mark?
Well, I gave it 9 out of 10. Our characters are entering the cave from the movie The Descent at the end of this episode.
And I had a similar rating to you, Kyle. Stabby Stab Father Gabriel's. I originally wanted to call it Avenging Angels, but then I thought about it. I said, well, he's not really an angel, is he? So I guess it's going to be 9 Avenging Priests. So... and I kind of went back and forth on it, what to give it a rating, but in the end, I think a 9 is fitting. It's a good episode. Yeah. It's really good. I don't know if it's great.
It's not the greatest of mid-season finales, in my opinion. It was really good, but the cliffhanger was the one thing that didn't give me a 0.5.
Yeah.
Well, no, I liked the cliffhanger, but there were some problems with the cliffhanger, but there were some other things about it that just didn't, you know, work for me all that well. All right. So let's move on to our listener ratings, Mark.
Well, Steve from Oklahoma City gives it 9.56 out of 10 one-eyed justice and vengeance-seeking pastors.
All right. LT from NC gives it 9.5 out of 10 stabby Padres.
Dieta from Detroit gives it 9 out of 10 Dante gets the beat down by Rosita.
And Glennis from Toronto gives it 9 out of 10. Dante, the devil is dead.
All right, so let's move on to Awesome Sauce. Awesome Sauce! Okay, first is Dieta from Detroit. She says, Rosita's beat down she put on Dante. Father Gabriel kills Dante. I screamed with him. When that last knife stab went in, I did too. I felt for him with the stabby stabs.
All right. Well, next is Glennis from Toronto, and she says, good one, Gabriel. That really was the only realistic outcome. The council be damned. Judas slicing and stopping the fleeing intruder and shouting to for mom to come and deal with him. Michonne didn't have to worry on the whereabouts of Judith and the Walker mayhem, as Judith had it covered.
That was kind of my take as well on that.
Yeah. Well, Steve from Oklahoma City says, Rosita kicking Dante's butt while protecting her baby and killing Walker Sadiq without blinking.
Yeah.
All right. Our awesome sauce. We'll go to Kyle.
All right. Well, obviously, everybody else is kind of agreeing. It was the whole Michonne and Judith at Oceanside and just Judith taking down well, the guy's name is Virgil. And it was just like how she like sliced and took him down, then saw the walker, went over there, took care of the walker, and then came back and then like yelled for mom. It was just like they really played up the whole Michonne and Judith, like, you know, relationship and just like they, you know, they have each other's back, and like Michonne doesn't like has like at one point that part where like Michonne like even says all like, oh, good girl to Judith.
Yeah.
It was like, is she your pet or she's like, but I mean, it's like, yeah, she like has completely all faith that Judith can take care of herself. So,
yeah, I thought it was a little silly for her to even be worried about Judith, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the motherly instincts and just like, I think they were, you know, she was taken off guard by this guy. And then this all of a sudden, you know, there was a breach and they're like, crud, you know, and she's got in her mind, like, this is a whisperer, you know, we just,
You know,
all that going up to being like, okay, yeah, she's had a moment of panic, but then came down to like, okay, Judith has it covered.
Yeah. Well, you know, Michonne never knew Shane. So
no. Oh, Shane.
I don't know. I still like to entertain the idea that he is not the father and it is Rick.
Yeah.
it makes my mind a little more peaceful when I don't have to think about, you know, Shane.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that was a long time ago and.
And a world far away.
Yes.
And just again with Judith, like when she was reading her, or well, she was reading, I guess, the guy's book, although it was from the library. Like just the way she was, like she definitely is the little ass kicker, and they're making that completely like just apparent and like showing her off. Like she took. Like the guy lunged after her and she was just like, she just kind of moved to the side. She's like, well, like, don't, you know, you're going to rip out your stitches. But then she like, but then she like opens a book and then again, puts her head, like her arm back down and like, you know, like resting her head on her arm while reading the book. It was just,
like, yeah,
I love it. I think it's, she's, that was just so much fun to watch.
Yeah. And I liked how, you know, she corrected him saying, well, it's not your book. It's from the library. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. And then, well, that was the thing that Gabriel's like stabby stab moment. Like, I don't know if that was like, if that's an awesome sauce or it was just more disturbing because like that scene, it really had me when I first saw it. And actually, even on my rewatch, I was on the bus and I was like, you know, there's people all around me and I'm watching that. And it made me like kind of sit back going, oh, my goodness, like this is really, really brutal. And knowing Gabriel is that to me was like something that normally he would never do. And just seeing him get, I guess, to his breaking point to where it just he couldn't control himself or he just let his emotions and everything just take over, because that was probably the most brutal I think we've seen on this show and since Negan, like bashing, just visually stunning and just like shocking.
Well, yeah, not ironing somebody's face.
Yeah.
Well, certainly, you know, like it literally was, you know, him beyond the breaking point, because he basically, like he said, he had a family, you know, the family was Rosita, Sadiq, and Gabriel with you know, Eugene tagging along occasionally, you know, Uncle Eugene figuring out diaper quotients and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it was the three of them, you know, in this strange love triangle-y thing. But they had created a nucleus there, and that's been destroyed. And, you know, I think that his reaction was justified.
Oh, yeah. Definitely warranted for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you betray someone's trust is like, especially in this world, like that's, he just took all the safety away from his life, you know, of what he seemed as like, this is my, you know, the relationships and all that stuff. Yeah. So it's like in this world, that's more than enough to justify it.
Yeah. And if you think about it, you know, they're in this kind of co-parenting situation and, you know, essentially de facto, you know, he's Rosita's husband and Sadiq is Rosita's, you know, baby daddy, and they're parenting together, and suddenly, you know, and they've kind of resolved to be a family together, and suddenly that's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like I agree, you know, he was taken into confidence, made a big part of the community, and was the whole time working against it in, you know, a terrible way. And I don't know what the council is going to say after they discover him dead. Actually, I don't think they said much. They just said, well, he's dead.
Yep. Yeah, Rick's not there.
I think in the end, they probably, that's what it would have come to anyway. Cause I think they realized that he wasn't going to say anything, that they weren't going to be able to get any intel out of him. So
it was justifiable homicide in their opinion.
Yeah. All right, Mark, what do you have?
Well, my first part would be seeing Dante's, you know, the Dante plan itself and how it was put into play with Alpha. That backstory was really good, and to see how he was brought in, that was really needed, and obviously it filled in a lot of people from last week when he kept saying, watch the preview.
Watch the cold open. Yeah, and it was one of those things, like, I'm really glad that this was one of those weeks where I was really glad that I had AMC Premiere.
Yeah.
Because it allowed me to see this, and one thing that I've noticed with this show and other shows, like, when you judge the plot of the shows as a whole and not the individual episodes, it lets you appreciate that much more where they're going with it. And seeing those first 3 minutes of the episode, you kind of went, oh, because otherwise I probably would have, you know, ripped last episode apart and, you know, given a much lower rating. But after I saw that, you know, my rating was forever changed, but more accurate, because when you look at it as a whole, it was, you know, close to a 9.5.
Yeah.
So anyway, that continue.
Well, my second part would be Carol stating that showing Lydia to the Whisperer that they had that died by Dante was a way of showing that they can push on their wounds as well. I'm meaning the Whisperer's wounds, because obviously the Whisperers are just attacking them on their kind of flaws and faults. I think this will come into play later, and showing that they are all vulnerable, you know, they're kind of vulnerable based on their own flaws and also their beliefs, or in this case, Alpha's beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
The next part would be Rosita able to kick ass and take down Dante, and unfortunately able to take down Sadiq as well as a walker in the condition that she was, because the last time we saw her, she was really sick. Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know, yeah, all that fortitude and that protective mother bear attitude, she's able to take down
and do what she needs to do.
That adrenaline kicked in.
Yeah, that whole attitude.
Yeah, I'll give mine because it's related to that. Like, I thought that that scene was really terrifying. Like, even though I was pretty sure that Coco wasn't going to die and that Rosita wasn't going to die at that moment anyway, I was still terrified for both those characters.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I thought that was a really effective, scary, terrifying scene.
Yeah.
So it definitely was one that I had to give an awesome sauce to.
That's what they're bringing back into the show, is they're bringing the scare tactics of,
yeah,
this is a scary show.
And I think that's why Alpha is so effective, because she scares the crap out of you with some of the things that she does. You know, she's truly a terrifying character, where, like, Negan was a terrifying character, but he was also a grandstanding character and a lean back character.
He was a bully,
you know?
He was a bully. And that's like, that's a different kind of like take or like different kind of feel than someone who's like almost like the epitome of like a monster that is hiding under your bed. Like, scary. Like, you just don't know what she's going to do. And like, she could just appear out of nowhere and like in your own community. Like, they have that ability.
Alpha's the pretty much the crazy stalker that finds you, whether you're a man or a woman, and just comes after you in some strange way and out of the blue, and just, you don't know where to look. And so you're always looking behind your back.
She has an ability to read people and kind of give them what they need. Like, and you even see this in the cold open this episode, by the way, that she touches Dante, and in some strange way that touch is effective to show him that, you know, yes, he would have a revered place in the group, you know, which is crazy, because like, the only other way that she touches people is usually when she's using a piece of piano wire, or
she read Manson's Book of Revelations.
No, but that's a good point, because she obviously knew in some way, like, just even like, she's almost kind of like that motherly figure, and whatever Dante's, you know, whatever he went through to get to that point, because we don't know how he joined the Whisperers, he was new-ish.
Well, yeah, I have a point to that. And I wanted to go back today and actually see if I could find it. But there was a point during last season where we find, I think they were looking for the Whisperers, and they come across a camp. And the camp, they said that, you know, it had just been, there had people been in that camp just prior to them going there, but it had been clear that they had been wiped out. But I'm thinking that that's when they met up with Dante. And I think that was after Lydia got captured. So like right around that time, like episode 10-ish or something, I remember there being a point right around there. I don't remember who was involved, but it was sometime in the last half of season 9 where they come across a camp of people that wasn't the Whisperers, that we see them and then they're gone. And I bet if we go back and look, it's either Dante or a character that looks like Dante. You know, so listeners, if any of you want to take that on and let us know, mind you, we won't report on it until February, but but I'll probably post about it on the Facebook group once I get a chance to look.
So my last point would be Judith wanting to go to the library because, you know, of Luke's influence. I think it is still a good thing to have those books around for the future for the kids, as well as all the people. It's a bit of history and they need that.
Yeah.
And it might not be so much for Eugene because he likes to sit in the self-help section and watch people as they have fun.
Yeah, I don't think that was what the library has in mind for most learning types of things. But But yes, the self-help section.
It's funny.
Yes, good old Eugene. All right. Well, I had a couple of things that I had already said we brought up. But there were a couple more things. I wanted to bring up the point about how Virgil brought up mercy. And then we have Michonne bringing up that phrase, my mercy prevails over my wrath. And that was kind of a nod to not only Rick, but the originator of the phrase of that quote, Sadiq, because Sadiq was the first one that said it and taught it to Rick. But, you know, clearly she was thinking of Rick you know, just seeing the way that she reacted to that. I thought that was a really special moment in the episode.
Yeah, I was going to put this in my sad sauce before I saw that you put it here, because I was just seeing her tear up and just knowing that that's who she's thinking of.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, our sauces kind of go borderline, you know, like weak and what, or weak and sad or something like this. And this is an awesome and sad.
Yeah.
And the last thing I was going to bring up is the thing that Daryl said, and this is kind of, I mentioned this earlier to somebody, where Daryl said, I'm the one you tell, me. And in past seasons, like if this was during the Gimple years, it would have been, I'm the one you grunt to. Because, you know, Daryl didn't really talk too much, but yeah. I like the change in character. Well, you know, he should have, I don't know why they were writing him not to talk in the last several years. Like, I don't know if that was just a crutch Gimple got into or what.
Maybe he had a thing against Norman Reedus. Who knows?
I don't know why he would. Anyway, okay, so I think that's it for our awesome sauce. Now for the weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak!
Okay, well, Steve from Oklahoma City says, no Negan and no Lydia. Also, Carol and the group that got caught in Alpha's trap.
All right, Glennis from Toronto says, Rosita states she's lost her edge in killing walkers when needing Eugene's help, but there was no hesitation when she killed Sadiq. Mama Bear protecting her child, so I don't think she's lost all her edge at all. She's weakened by being sick. That's all when taking on three times the walkers. She's a soldier through and through, falling back on her training instinctively, which always reminds me of Abraham.
Yeah, I think the only weakness there was weakness to put Eugene and Rosita in a scene together. Yeah. Dieta from Detroit, she says, Michonne sailing and then yacht face. Okay, that's not a yacht face, but yacht emoji, sailboat emoji away with the stranger. With the strange man leaving Judith and RJ, how could she leave her babies like that? Send someone else to go get this mighty ammunition. Hello, there are plenty of people in Oceanside who could have taken that trip, but anybody but her. I just don't buy it, Michonne. Leaving the kids like that? Yeah, she's leaving the show. But come on, Deanna. This is why I did not put this in my weak sauce, because you said it perfectly. That's exactly what I would say here. I had the same reaction to it. It really felt forced. It was not my favorite part of the episode. This is, I think, one of the parts that seemed to take away from the episode. It was manufactured. Totally agree with Dieta here. Send somebody else. Don't send someone that has two kids. You know, why did she have to go? Like, why not send Rachel or Cindy or Aaron, for that matter? Like, send anybody, send Scott, you know, since he only comes in when Sonequa Martin Green is in town. Yeah. If you don't know, that's Kendrick Green, who's Sonequa Martin Green's husband. But anyway, you know, send him, you know, send a character that you, it just, it doesn't make sense for her to go away, except that you have to send her away because she's going away. And it, they made it seem like she's going to be back sometime during the season. Like, one thing I noticed, they didn't even mention Michonne leaving on Talking Dead that I remember. I don't even think it came up.
No, it didn't.
So clearly she's going to be back at some point.
One more episode.
Yeah. But maybe we'll hear her voice a couple of times on the walkie, which made me think, well, how is she going to charge the walkie? Anyway, but that was my take. So brought it down pretty much close to a point, that whole thing for me. So,
yep. So LT from NC says, I know you guys are going to get pounded with feedback, so I'll be brief. It was a good cliffhanger for sure, with the exception of my weak sauce listed below. Said weak sauce, running into the woods blindly, chasing after the villain is never a good idea, especially if it's the mid-season break. Bringing all your friends along is even worse. I know they had to do it, but I have this feeling it will set up some couch visits for Hardwick in February. I think it's going to be at least maybe two. And those are my predictions on that.
Yeah. And I was trying to do a tally earlier when I was watching it to figure out, okay, who's in there? Who's all in there? So we got Daryl, we got Aaron, Magna,
Jerry, Kelly,
and Luke was there, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Luke's at Oceanside.
He's in Oceanside, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, there's not a huge group, but the two
Connie.
Players.
Connie
was in there?
Yeah.
Huh.
Connie was there.
I already have my predictions. I'll leave them towards the end. So.
All right. So, shall we go into our own weak sauce?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, and like when I wrote this, I'll try to explain, I guess, more, because I feel like I kind of was talking differently about this earlier, about the whole Alpha and all them. But it was just like, I think part of the season, or just the whispers in general, it's like it was like Dante and his plan. Like, I kind of don't get this. Like, why is like Alpha's way so much better than our sides of like living? Like, I don't, is this what they do to other groups that they come across? Like, do they somehow infiltrate them or try to like, you know, tear down their civilization? You know, whatever the deal is. I kind of having some like hard to get around that when we know that like, you know, we have Lydia, like showing Lydia still alive would be a weakness to the Whisperers, because Alpha apparently told her, it's like, oh, no, she killed her or died, or, you know, whatever the deal is. But yet somehow being in kind of a civilized place that had food and running water and like all the good things would not be enough to turn someone around to being like, oh yeah, screw running around in the, you know, woods with masks and walking among the dead, to like, you know, just, I don't know, that whole, like, Dante was just spouting off all this, like, oh, it's like, you guys are, you know, like just general stuff about humanity is just, you know, it's horrible. Or, you know, like, you know, we're all selfish, and we, you know, how is the old world better? You know, look what people did, you know, and it's, I get that, but I still feel like humans still have a very, like a built-in like self-preservation and like comfort, mm-hmm. and like I want like the best things in life, not the worst. So right. I have a hard time grasping how Alpha has this hold over these people. And I mean, maybe she doesn't necessarily have that, but I just like the guy eating toast with jam, I would think that would be enough to turn someone over and say, hey, I'm staying here then.
Yeah, and you'd think Dante would have had a change of heart, and you know, like, why did he insist that, you know, Sadiq was a friend?
I purposely thought that at one point that Dante was starting to change in some ways, but he was still drinking the Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why he had a hard time dealing with Sadiq. And I think he got a taste of the good life.
I wonder if this is kind of like the, you know, Al-Qaeda and stuff like that, you know, where these terrorists are put in, you know, to live amongst us, not to center on Al-Qaeda. So, you know, don't take any offense to this, but just like a similar kind of thing from how they did it, where they, you know, indoctrinated these people that, you know, were living a very hard life and, you know, I don't know, train them to become like living the North American lifestyle, I guess, and kind of blend in. And then, you know, when they get activated to, you know, carry out 9/11, similar kind of thing, maybe, but I don't know. It seems like
we haven't really gotten too much of, because at least in that instance, there's kind of like an ideology, which I guess this group does have that, but it's more of like there's still a religious, like afterlife, whatever kind of stuff that is part of that fanaticism. And that,
yeah.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen that with this group, at least.
I reminded, and Ken from Chicago will appreciate / not appreciate this point, but it reminds me a little bit of the adversaries from season 4A of the of Fear, where we had the Vultures, which were an interesting adversary, I would say, a little hard to figure out, but they were kind of similar, where they were anti community, I guess. They weren't, because they were kind of a community that just a
community of scavengers.
Yeah. But it reminds me a little bit of that, whereas the Whisperers are maybe like, you know, an order of magnitude beyond, where they're actually, you know, taking the persona of the dead and doing all those things. But yeah, I mean, I think your points are well taken, that it does seem to it's under the guise of, which is, I think, why it reminded me of the Vultures, where it's like any community is going to fail inevitably. Like, it's just, it's inevitable that something is going to cause its demise. Mm-hmm. They, you know, Alpha at least says that they're hypocritical, or they're just fooling themselves. And I don't know. It's one of those things where I don't think that walking with the dead is also something that's sustainable, because all it's going to take is, like, you know, you sneeze, or
right, or you know, yeah,
you risk your life if you go out the door.
Yeah. I mean, that's talking about it in that sense, it does kind of help at least kind of get a little bit more of a grasp over it. I know earlier I was just talking about how, like, oh yeah, Alpha, and like they're like a cult, you know, they're just like she has this power over them and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
To whenever I was writing this comment, just in general too, about how I've been feeling, it's just like, I still quite don't understand it, because I still feel like there's a human aspect that is always going to be something that's going to push someone, like, to reject that other ideal. But
yeah,
I guess that's kind of how a cult works.
Yeah, I agree. You had another one?
Yeah. So Daryl can see a bear trap in the dark, but he can't see the ledge in that dark cave that he like falls off in at the end. I don't know. I when I did my rewatch, I like Carol obviously was just running ahead, but he's just like, whoa, no. And it's like, wait, like he, like, isn't he always looking down because he's always tracking something?
Yeah.
and so I just,
well, you know, Daryl's eyesight is probably declining with age, you know. So, you know, it's stands to reason that Daryl's tracking might not be what it used to be. But then again, maybe Daryl is watching the episode with the rest of us and we're saying too dark, because to skip ahead, I'll say my number one thing beyond what I already said that took away from the episode, it, especially in those last scenes, it was too dark. To when I did my final rewatch, I had to boost the color of my monitor to like full contrast video game mode just so I could see this, what was going on. And it, you know, it seems to be, it's just a recurring thing. And yeah, I saw it, the same darn thing happen with this season of Game of Thrones. And I've been complaining about this at least since season 5 of this show. It's just, it's a recurring thing. It's like, dudes, don't make, like, and it drives me crazy when they have this, there was a scene last week on the bridge when they meet up with
Gamma
and Aaron, and everything was visible in the, it, where it should have been pitch dark, mm-hmm. you know, but so that gets a little crazy, but at the same time, this is also a little crazy where it's like, you've got this really tense scene. We need to be able to see it.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
well, that just part of the, like, as I was continuing on, I was just like that whole, the whole scene of them running, like not to even talk about Carol and why she did that, but just them all running and then just running into like a cave, like,
yeah.
With no, like, oh, I'm going to check this out first, or maybe there's an exit, in the, you know, just, I'm just going to run right through there because Carol did it. I mean, it reminded me of that meme of that abandoned, like, I don't know, it's like a house or whatever that has the free hugs painted on the wall, like written on the side. So, because that's how ridiculous I felt the whole thing was, because they were just like, oh, it's just like, why would anybody just, I'm going to run into this tiny opening cave and just, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
To add to yours, my weak sauce was that pretty much too. I thought it was weak that Daryl was cautious as he was entering and being a tracker, was not able to see the trapdoor that Alpha left for the group that he fell into as well. You know, apparently she didn't fall into it because she set it up. You know, and, you know, as Data from the Goonies said in the cave, booty twaps, you know, Alpha was in there setting up booty twaps. Yeah. Daryl should know better because, come on, he's a tracker. He's supposed to know and see those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how I felt.
I agree. So few things that I brought up, what the too dark again. I had to say, but you know, last week I took exception to the fact that they were killing another doctor, and yet again, at the time, I did not know conclusively that Dante was in fact a doctor. I thought maybe he's a medic, but not a full doctor. But it turns out he was a doctor, and they killed him off too. So, bottom line, same as I said last week, don't be a doctor on The Walking Dead, because you're going to die.
Or a vet.
Well, anything,
any medical.
Anything that is doctor-like, you know. So, June is safe because she's a nurse on Fear. That's how she survives. Pill. Yeah, but if she starts doing surgery within an episode or two, she's gone.
She's gone.
Yeah. Sonograms aside, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, but and now I'm curious with this new show if we're going to see dead doctors too. So how far are they going to do this trope? In the cold open, there was something about it that I had to really wonder about, because they said that he had been, I think it was Aaron had said that he had been with them for 4 months. And in the cold open, we see Dante is rescued by Alexandrians, by the way, none of which we recognize. Although Gabriel is watching that video, and he says in the video that he was brought in, like he asked him a question, something like, how long have you been with your group? So it was to suggest that more that they had all, he had come and found this other group, and then the other group came into Alexandria. So that seems kind of doesn't quite match. Either they didn't discover it because, I don't know, maybe he didn't ask the other people to say that they had not been there that long, or he had not been with them as long as he said. But the point being, I don't know, maybe I missed something, or
it looked like he just joined them right away in
exactly
the mix of yeah. it during that camp scene.
Exactly. But my point being, it seemed like he had been with the group. He had been rescued and then got brought right into Alexandria. But the question came in for Dante, how long had he been with this group? And it was a bunch of people that we didn't recognize. I'd never seen any of them before. So if he came in with them, clearly, and if he's trying to establish the fact that he had been there with them a long time, well, that timeline doesn't jive. So I don't know if he just told a lie and
that's
and
what I was
Gabriel
thinking.
Didn't follow up on it
yeah.
or what, but that was just the it was a little confusing. So
I had more about this in my feedback, which
okay.
I don't know if you want me to go into it now, because it
if it fits, we can.
I mean it fits, because I noticed, like, you know, during his flashbacks, you know, at the cold open, so we were seeing basically how Dante, I guess, basically started getting into a group. But if you go back to season or episode one of this season, Lines We Cross, there's a scene where we see Magna and Aaron and Michonne and all them, like, they come up to an empty camp.
Yes.
That was the
part I was referring to. Right. I thought it was in the previous season.
Yeah, but it was actually okay. The first episode, and I went back and watched it because I don't know what triggered me, but I was just kind of like, oh, something seemed familiar.
Well, thank you, Kyle. You did the work that I was asking them to do. So, so, but, so we have instant feedback on there. listeners, you can cancel the request that I made. So, anyway. Okay.
Sorry.
No. You're nothing to be sorry about. That helps. So
no. Well, and so, like, they're in that scene, like, they're walking around this empty camp site or whatever, and even like Michonne's just like, yeah, so it's like an abandoned camp, and they're like, no, that's not what we wanted to show you. Then they go across some like you see them, like, they're progressing, not necessarily in the camp, but progressing, I guess, down the road or something. It's like, oh yeah, here's some dead walkers. And they see, you know, that's a lot of like skeletons, and they're like, oh, they must have had a tussle with some walkers. Then they go further, and then you see that body that was like all completely naked, face down, and then that's where they find the skin suit or the skin flap.
Ah, yes.
So during the flashback with Dante, like, you see him, like, I guess, like, kill some guy that was like, he was like carrying some like firewood or whatever, but he like takes someone out, and then you see him take off his clothes and put that on,
right?
And then the next thing, you know, I think it goes back to Alpha, but then the next thing you see, he's walking with like the walkers, and then he comes up to that camp and you see the camp. Well, then he has the skin suit like draped over his body and his mask. So he pulls his mask off and he pulls off a skin suit, throws that away. Mm-hmm. During that time, you hear like water splash, and you can see in the background, there's a lot of water, like a river or something.
Yeah.
So then after that point, he's yelling and screaming, the people come and save him, kill the stuff like that. But then from there, you see them walking into, I think it looked like Hilltop. But so then you see he's with this group, and then you start seeing, I guess, I don't know if it's Alexandria or like Hilltop.
I think it was actually Alexandria. Originally, I thought it was Hilltop, but then when I looked at it a little closer to see the actual,
like what, like things,
the walls, it looked like cold rolled steel of Alexandria versus the logs of Hilltop. So
yeah, well, I was trying to figure out, but for some reason my first thought was Hilltop, but the other
part, it was my first thought too.
Yeah. So. And then the other part was so the scene with Dante meeting up with the group, you do see like there's like a river or like water, but when Michonne and them are investing in the group or the campsite, there's like no water, and you can almost tell that it looks like it was a dried up riverbed. So that made me question, then it's like, okay, so the skin suit that they found was the one that he either made off that guy or like left or threw, but then the mask that he threw, maybe that, because at the end of the episode of season one or episode one, Judith finds the mask with her seashells. So maybe that got washed out to wherever this river is, and that's how that got there. And then they found the skin suit, you know, by this campsite, because that's where he threw it. It doesn't quite all match perfectly, but that whole scene to what we saw in the flashback matches up pretty good. So it's kind of like, okay, that's what they came across, and that's why they were worried, like, oh, one of them has like crossed our territory, what's he doing? And there's my two cents.
No, okay. that's good. The other point I wanted to make is I was really confused by this. Why did they interrogate Dante in the infirmary versus taking him into the cell? Like, why I didn't understand why they were all there. The only thing I could think of is that they maybe didn't want to incite panic.
I think so. I think that's the main cause.
Like
they don't want everybody to be worried that this is all happening.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to contain it, because eventually this was all going to get out very quickly. So, still, that was the only thing I could think of, is that they were trying to kind of contain things so that they wouldn't have like a revolt or mass hysteria or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But it was kind of strange that they were doing that there versus like not just taking him to the cell. You know, it's okay, he's not going to be able to get out. He's restrained, and, you know, every exit is blocked by somebody, but still it just seemed a little strange. All right, let's move on to what sauce.
What?
And it seems like we didn't get any what sauce from our listeners today, and Mark, doesn't look like you have any what sauce.
No, so I'll let you guys talk about that.
It's just Kyle and me. So Kyle, why don't you go?
I mean, it's not like anything major, but it's like Daryl's bike. I always feel like it's just a bit loud in this world. It's like when you're trying to be kind of quiet and sneaky and all that stuff, and then, you know, he's gunning it around, and, you know, no one else has like a bike or a car or anything, but it always strikes me as just like, really? Like, you're making so much noise.
Well, and how come his gas works and nobody else's does?
He's the only one that gets gas.
Yeah. Maybe he's like made it work on, you know, pure alcohol or something.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And the other one was like when, so Virgil, the new guy, is showing up. And then I was kind of, it's like, so somehow he got from his naval base to search for supplies over, you know, over in our area, but then he needed Oceanside's boat to get back.
Yeah.
It was like, how did you get there to begin with?
Yeah. Did your boat kind of capsize or something? Yeah, that's a good point. A really good point.
Maybe we'll see something of that, like now, you know, when it comes back or something, like a flashback, or maybe it was a storm. But anyways, though, and then it's
a hurricane,
like, maybe. And then it's just like they're talking about like big weapons, I guess. And I don't understand. It's like what is she going to bring back? Like tanks or like big giant bazookas, bombs, airplanes, like a cruise
nuclear
ship?
Weapon,
right? And then so there's all these, I guess, big weapons at this place, and it's like, is it Virgil and just his family? Like, are they the only ones there, or is this a community?
Yeah. Well, I did some research on this in real life, actually. It's in my notes, so I'll bring it up here. Bloodsworth Island was the one that he mentioned, and I looked it up, and it is notable. It is not a naval base. It says in Wikipedia, from 1942 to 1995, the United States Navy used the island as a shore bombardment and bombing range for firing and dropping live ordnance from ships and aircraft. This included bombs, small and large caliber ammunition, rockets, and missiles that contain explosives, propellants, and other energetics. Due to extreme contamination by unexploded ordnance, the island is currently off limits to the public. So, okay, so it's not a naval base, but it sounds like there's a bunch of ammunition that's on the, it's like literally a minefield. Although they're not mines, they're just, you know, there's a bunch of artillery, rockets, yeah, whatever, that have landed on the island and never blew up. So, but it's not a naval base. So, like, based on what Michonne said, she said it's a naval base. So that tells me either A, it's a different island, or B, it serves a different function in this universe.
Right.
Or C, she didn't understand what Virgil said, and she's going to die, and she's going to die by stepping on a bomb, and that'll be the end of it. So I don't know, but that was, I wanted to look it up because it was a place that I had never heard of, and he also mentioned Tangier Sound, which I had to look that up as well, and that is a place, the Tangier Sound is around Tangier Island, and Tangier, Virginia is on Tangier Island, and it's known for its residents having like a strange British-y accent, which has survived from hundreds of years or something, but very strange and very...
What is this bizarre segue that's happening right now? Can we maybe stay on point?
That's all I was going to say, Blaine.
Well, no, that's interesting. I feel like more than likely it's either going to be, you know, something that they create for this world, and it's actually some kind of naval base that's been abandoned. Or you could have a point where it's like when he was saying, oh, it's fortified, it's because there's live ordnances still like around. Yeah. So it's going to be like a pretty desolate place, but it's protected somewhat.
Yeah. I mean,
otherwise it's like his backpack wasn't going to carry a whole lot of supplies. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So, and like you said, like, is it just their family living there? And, right, you know, how are they like managing not to blow themselves up? I don't know, but
it's because Althea is there with the camera filming it all.
There you go. That's possible. She could be there.
All right.
This is kind of a borderline what in sad sauce, but I decided to put it here. It seems to me Aaron's quiz to Gracie about state capitals would have been something that would have been a geography lesson if it was, you know, happening in our universe. But in the Walking Dead universe, it's a history lesson because there's no, like, they may look like state capitals, but there's no states anymore. There's no government. So it's essentially a history lesson. So it's kind of sad in that way. And he mentioned in that story to Gracie, he was thinking of the ruins of that native village he visited. And I wonder if he wonders if Alexandria will become ruins with no trace of them behind, you know, some years later. Like it basically be, you know, the survivors of the apocalypse will come across this Alexandria, you know, 200 years later and wonder, you know, whether any of those people survived. So it's kind of like sad slash also what, but I mentioned it earlier. Scott is in this episode again, because we haven't, you know, he's somebody that's been around since, I think the first time we saw him was season 6, episode 1.
Yeah.
With Heath, but his, there was something I mentioned, I think a couple of episodes ago when we discovered him, or he was on the show, and I had mentioned, I was surprised that he was in Scars from last season, season 9, episode 14. And then I remembered how we saw him in Scars. He was in Scars, so he actually was in the flashback scenes. So the last couple of episodes that he's been in, I think episode like 4, maybe, I think 4, and now 8, these are the first two times that we've confirmed that he's actually alive in this apocalypse. But it's just like, he's just this guy that we haven't seen in a while, and suddenly we see him again. So I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Sonequa Martin Green's husband still has a job, so.
Right, exactly. we saw her, too, in this episode. Laura, the one with the barcode tattoo.
Yeah.
Now, was she at Oceanside, or was she with the group that fell in the cave?
No, she was at Oceanside, I believe.
She was at Oceanside. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
all right. I wasn't too sure. All right. That seems to be it for what sauce. So now we have our or sad sauce, and I think it's mostly sad sauce. And I refuse to do anything that would split those two. So four sauces is all you get.
So Steve from Oklahoma City says, Rosita having to knife Walker Sadiq. And I do agree.
Mm-hmm. LT from NC says, I wish Ezekiel would just tell Carol about the tumor. The awkward conversation was well acted and it fit the episode, but come on, just tell her, man. The other bit of awe was Rosita and Eugene. It was good to see them talking again, at least. Yeah. Hmm. Mark, what have you got?
Well, I definitely will have to agree with LT. Basically, the conversation with Kingy and Carol was definitely sad. That was kind of cold. He didn't tell her anything of what was going on with him, showing any real care in some way. So sad to see that relationship end like this. I'm not sure of where King E will be in the last half of the season.
And it made me wonder, you know, was talking about Sadiq being like one of those people that would live forever. And
yeah,
I think it was more like with him dying, that pretty much for sure makes sure that gives him a death sentence as well, because the only one to pretty much, you know, treat his cancer would have been
Sadiq.
Sadiq. So, he's, you know, he has to resolve to his fate at this point.
Yep. And like LT, I was sad that with the conversation where there was Zeta and Eugene as well, it's like Eugene has moved on and continues to move on after he helps her out with a walker. The relationship is distant now, ever since she made it clear to Eugene that they would never be an item.
And something I noticed, and this could have been in the weak sauce as well, Eugene, like Josh McDermott, when he was giving his lines in this episode to Rosita, it was almost like he was rapping. Because I noticed like he was saying, I'm not part of your domicile or whatever. But he was kind of like bobbing his head as he was saying the lines. Go back and look at it and you'll see what I mean. So I was listening to, I didn't hear the whole thing, but Jason on Walking Dead cast was talking about this. This episode, he was saying like how he doesn't like Eugene because he's so like just out there and you know, there are times like this where I have to agree. Whereas Luke is also a geek. He's more of a music geek, but he's just got such more of a smooth delivery versus that staccato
I've never saw it about,
I'm Dr. Eugene Porter. Anyway, I have to give a sad sauce to Gabriel, and specifically the way he acted, not so much while he stabbed Dante, but that disgust that he seemed to have in himself for killing Dante, like his reaction after the fact. And then when he comes out of the jail and Rosita sees him on the sidewalk there, I thought at first it might have been his first human kill, but then I remembered that he killed someone at the satellite station at for Not Tomorrow Yet. He killed that one guy. So this wasn't his first kill, but anyway, something about this kill really shook him, I think, in a sad way. And, you know, just overall, like, sad for that whole family, sad for Rosita, too. It's just all sad.
Well, you know, he did kill his flock, too, so he didn't really just kill Dante and the other guy.
Physically kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't go to you, Kyle, but you had a sad sauce, too.
Yeah, it was just like that very last shot before we went to commercials of seeing Sadiq, just like his dead walker face just staring out at you. It was just, it was that. I mean, obviously they made that point, but I mean, it was so heartbreaking to just see that. Just,
it was.
Yeah.
He made a good walker, too.
Yeah.
He was pretty scary.
Yeah. And then also like Dante smothering the old woman, and I couldn't remember name. I thought it was might have been Alice, but you said it's Cheryl.
Yeah, it's Cheryl.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember it a couple of episodes back, so
I was trying to go back to check, but I didn't have time. But yeah, it was just like that whole, I don't know, it just Dante's deserved what he got.
Oh, definitely. He definitely did. All right, so I think that's for it for our sad sauce. So let's move on to our feedback section.
We can talk about it.
Done talking. Time to listen.
All right, our first is from our friend Steve.
Hello, Walking Dead Talk Through. This is Steve, and this is for The World Before. I'm actually recording this before I'm putting my rating and notes in the episode feedback thread, but I wanted to get these out here before I lost them. Absolutely loved Luke making up words, whistleable. I thought that was really cool. So either are they just neglecting clearing a building before they go into it, or was the library too big for them to like make noise and try to clear it out? I didn't notice until my second watch Gabe's little solar powered battery that he was using to watch the video of Dante's interview. And I thought that was interesting that he has taken over he's taken over doing the interviews for Alexandria. Judith and her sword skills is quite great. I loved seeing that on display. And I know it probably is bad to say I loved it, but Gabriel going all Charles Bronson on Dante, I thought was great. And I guess Judith appears to be a kind of a little genius. You know, she said she's read every book in Alexandria, and she wants to read more, and she's going to write down all the history and everything, and very mature. I thought that was really, really cool. And I wonder if there's a deleted scene between Luke and his Oceanside girl. And I kind of went back and forth on whether I thought it was weak or what, Michonne going off with Virgil. Part of me, I understand that for the story purposes, it needs to be her. But at the same time, wouldn't someone from Oceanside have been better equipped to go on the boat with him to be able to get stuff back? You know, I can't wait to hear what you guys thought. Talk to you in later February.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. And you've been a great fan of the show and supporter. We thank you so much. Yeah, so, I wrote some things down as I was listening to the voicemail just now. I think that they could have made the story of having Michonne go to Bloodsworth Island. It could have made it more realistic and not make it so like out of place that Michonne went instead of the Oceanside people. Like maybe they needed something from Michonne for that. Like, so instead of it just being Virgil and Michonne, maybe it be Virgil, Michonne, and two people from Oceanside or something that go on a bigger boat. And it just otherwise, I totally agree with you. It doesn't make a lot of sense for her to go, you know, especially when she's got these kids. You know, it just seems crazy and it's risky, but it also just seems to be, it could send anybody else, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Is it that he said it has to be you? There was nothing said. And I kept looking back to see if AMC released like an extended episode of this episode. I have not seen that yet. So I guess unless they're going to release that for, you know, before the mid-season premiere, that this is all there is. So if there is an extended scene, I guess we're not going to see it, but I totally get what you're saying there.
Yeah. I think it's kind of obvious though, that it was purely a plot storyline because of the fact that she's not going to be in that many more episodes.
Yeah.
So it's like, that makes it even more like it kind of like sloppily done just because, we can't have her in the next, you know, back half until who knows when, but I don't know.
Yeah. That's the thing. And the other thing I noticed too is that, you know, she's sending Judith back with Uncle Daryl, who's in a cave.
Yep.
So, I think that like we understand that it had to be her, but it could have been written better. I totally agree. Another thing I was going to bring up, writing down the history. I think, isn't that something that Carl did in the comic books? Mark, I'm going to point to you.
Yeah, he did. He was writing down some information of their experiences over the time, little by little. You didn't really see too much of it, but here and there he did.
Yeah, so essentially she's taking on that bit of the story from Carl, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Oceanside and Luke, I guess it's a question of whether or not there was any additional scenes with Jules. I didn't really see any place where there would be in this case, but I could see them having a scene together next episode. I don't know. What do you think?
Hopefully.
Yeah, but it took me a while to remember what her character name was, / I had to look it up. Jules was her name. And I should remember that because I went to my grade school was called St. Jules. So same spelling. I definitely noticed that Gabe's doing the interviews now. And I thought, did he have, was it a solar panel? It almost looked like an iPad. But it had to have been like a solar panel or something that was heat, you know, powering the battery. So I guess their use of like, that's one thing I've noticed, that they're using much more like rustic kind of stuff. Like we see Carol a couple of episodes back using kind of like a wood stove versus using a, you know, like their normal appliances, which they use in the past. So I wonder if all those things are kind of not being used anymore.
Oh, kind of like the crude rudimentary thing that Father Gabriel did to watch the video camcorder.
Exactly. Yes.
With the car battery. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Judith is doing lots of book learning. So that's good.
Yeah.
And you compare that to, say, Lydia, who didn't know how to read. And it's kind of sad, you know? All right. Anybody else have anything more to say about Steve's voicemail?
Nope. It's all good.
Nope, okay. Good. All right. We got a short one, and that is from LT from NC. And specifically, he put this in, and I put it here versus put it to the last episode because it has to do with the cold open. But he sent this after hearing what we said on the podcast and watching the cold open.
Hey guys, it's LT. I just couldn't help but call. All I got this, you know, this past episode was, Brian, listen to the trailer. Go see the cold intro. And I did. And sweet jumping Jesus on a pogo stick. It's infuriating. I'm gobsmacked. But just the pure elegance of that. And I told myself I wasn't going to say it, but that's what I wish we could have had, and just a touch of in the previous series that we're not going to discuss anymore. So I had to do it now. Can't wait till Sunday. Talk to you guys later.
The show that shall not be named.
The show that shall not be named. But we end up naming it anyway. But anyway, LT, thank you so much for your voicemails and for supporting us so much on the podcast. And he has a little more. So, Kyle?
Yeah, so after what he said in the voicemail, he's like, poor Dante, you got caught, took a beat down from Rosita and Daryl, monologued about the mission, and then ended up getting the Jeanette Leigh treatment in the jail cell from Gabriel. Of all the people I expected to snap, it wasn't him. That said, this is not the same preacher who hid in the back of the church.
And just to correct you, Kyle, that's Janet Leigh, as in Janet Leigh from Yes.
I stand corrected.
Yes. Jamie Lee Curtis's mother, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Lisa.
Yes.
Right. And Tony Curtis's ex-wife.
Right. All right. Our next, we've got a little bit from Dieta from Detroit. She says, now, this is how a season finale is done. Take note, Fear the Walking Dead. Anyway, Carol chasing Alpha into a trap. Come on, Carol. You are smarter than that. Now, our group is trapped in an underground cave full of walkers. Overall, a good finale. I can't wait until February 23rd. And what's with the late comeback? Yeah, it is later. We have seen them come back late in the past. And when I first saw this, I thought, oh, must be Winter Olympics. And then I realized, wait a minute. It's 2020. That is a leap year. And the leap year is when the Summer Olympics happen, not the Winter Olympics. The Summer Olympics last, or sorry, did I get that wrong? The Summer Olympics happen on leap years. The Winter Olympics happen like in between. So 2016 was Summer Olympics. 2018 was Winter Olympics. 2020 is Summer Olympics. 2022 will be the next Winter Olympics. So that's how it goes. And it's not the Olympics that's causing it to come later. What I'm thinking is coming later, it's probably a couple of things. Like, for example, I know that's right around the time that the Oscars come out, and I know that they, you know, lose some audience when that the week of the Oscars, so maybe they're delaying it a little bit because of the Oscars. I don't know if that's what it is. It normally comes back the week after the Super Bowl. And so that would have normally meant, I think, would have come back February 9th this year, but it's not. So there has to be another reason for it. Maybe it's to do it after the other show. Well, that's another thing I thought of, is that it's to sync up with the other show. And I think Better Call Saul is also coming back that night. So they're going to do a sync up there, I'm thinking. And maybe it's that they are not, like in the past, they try to make it debut before Game of Thrones, but Game of Thrones isn't back. Maybe, I don't know when Westworld comes back, but maybe they're trying to make, anyway, there's got to be some reason for it. I don't know what it is, but I was wondering about it too. So. But yeah, your point, Mark, is probably because of the other show.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing, if I had to guess, what they're going to do is they're going to do like they did the season that Morgan started on Fear. They'll do another Survival Sunday and try to drum up people to watch the new show. So I don't know, but we'll see. We'll be talking more about the new show in our news section.
Yes.
All right. Next, Mark, you've got one?
Yeah, well, Glennis from Toronto says, did Gamma lead Carol and Daryl and company pretty much purposely into a trap?
It's a trap!
It's a trap, said in a Star Wars Return of the Jedi voice. She says, laugh out loud. Is Gamma truly swayed by her unresolved feelings for her sister and hatred for Alpha as a result? Or has this been Alpha's plan all along and Gamma's just going along with it? Or Alpha knows Gamma is betraying her, so working that to her advantage too, or as well. So, who knows? You know, we're talking about a psychopath, according to what you're saying, Brian. So.
She certainly does seem to fit the characteristics of, like I mentioned, what I've read about a sociopath versus a psychopath, Negan fits the characteristics of a sociopath because he does bond with some people.
Yeah.
And that's very clear that he does at this point. He's bonded with Judith. He's bonded with Lydia, and
Carl.
And Carl. So he does. It's funny. It's all the teenagers and kids, but he does bond with people. Whereas I believe everything about, I personally think that her thing with Lydia is not because she loves Lydia, but because she possesses, you know, like she looks at Lydia's property to her, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think in her way, like it's twisted. Like, yes, she's her daughter, but it's more of a possession kind of thing. And, and anyway, she just fits the psychopath.
Kind of like Freddy Krueger. You are all my children. Well, she continues on, alluding to that. Has the beginnings of the Michonne exit been activated by Virgil leading her on a journey to get the weapons stashed that they'll need to end the Whisperer's herd of the Walkers? I believe so. I think that's her segue. It was an ominous that partings of ways between Michonne and Judith are they going to see each other again?
I think so.
It might be for a goodbye, if anything, and Uncle Daryl might be used in that part.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I heard some conjecture on another podcast, I think it was, and that was that she'll go off to this island and they'll have a radio and somehow she'll get a signal that gives her some clue of Rick. And, you know, she decides that she has to move on to try to find Rick, and or maybe even Rick is there, but I doubt that.
No.
I expect that, you know, he's at one of those three circles, probably the circle that does all the bad stuff. Yeah. But I tend to think that there's going to be something that's going to elevate her to the movies. That's where I see Michonne going eventually. Maybe not in the first Walking Dead movie, but maybe in the second Walking Dead movie or something. But her to move on to the movies. And I don't know how that fits in or time frame wise, but that's kind of where I see it. They're taking her away, much like they did with Maggie, and Rick for that matter, but taking her off the story, you know. But I imagine she's going to be back at some point, maybe in the season finale, maybe some other episode, but near the end anyway, to kind of wrap this up, and somehow she's going to decide that she has to move on, or I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that Danai Gurira's departure is very similar to what Andrew Lincoln's was, where she has the same amount of episodes as Andrew.
Yeah, and that's why it leads me to think that she's got one more, because Andrew Lincoln was in five, and if you count, she's been in the first, the third, because that second episode was just an all Whisperers episode, the fourth, and then the eighth. So that would mean she'd be in another episode. So maybe it's the last one. I don't know.
But I've heard rumors of it being 12, episode 12.
Okay. We shall see.
Yeah. And she continues on saying, it's interesting that Michonne actually gets to go away on a boat from Oceanside. just like her comic counterpart did. But with Michonne's departure from that area and when she went on her boat trip, it was very similar to what Carol, we saw her in the beginning of the season when she came back. When Carol came back, she did her own little journey going out looking for things. And that, I think that kind of comic arc has already been played out. I think this is one where Michonne actually goes.
I wonder if they wrote the beginning of the season with the idea that Danai Gurira was going to stay, and contracts just didn't work out. But at the same time, they wanted to do a better job writing her character off than they did with Maggie. So, because I mean, it was very off-putting the way that they dealt with Maggie. She just wasn't there, and you know. Just led to believe, oh, she's, you know, off with Georgie, wherever that is. So,
yeah, which makes me think that eventually maybe I haven't seen any rumors of Lauren Cohan being back on set, but I wouldn't be surprised that towards the end they actually film those episodes or that episode where she shows up after Michonne leaves.
And there could have been scenes that were done like on a closed set that, have her. Was she at Walker Stalker Con?
No.
I didn't think so. But it stands to reason that she could have been there for, you know, one reason or another. So I wouldn't be surprised if she ends up being there. I mean, well, for that matter, maybe she'll be on the new show, like show up for an episode and then leave to go back. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, she continues on saying, is Virgil connected to the Chopper group and so indirectly to Rick, as there is now tie-ins on all three series in The Walking Dead, in Fear of the Walking Dead, and The Walking Dead World Beyond, and of course the much anticipated The Walking Dead movies.
You gave away the title. Gladys, you gave away the title. I don't know, maybe we may have said it earlier. I think maybe we did. But yeah, we'll talk more about that later.
And she continues on saying, as those weapons sound pretty sophisticated to so stands to reason that a major group would be in charge of these said weapons. As Abraham wrote on that map in season 5, the new world's gonna need Rick Grimes.
Yeah, and still does.
Yes.
And that's why he's still alive, even though he's, where's he been all this time? Mark, you have some feedback of your own?
Yeah, I think, well, these are predictions. So, everybody, this is something that we brought up last week, and we have some either predictions or thoughts of what's going to happen. Well, last we saw our lovely characters that we love and we care for. I think that Jerry and Kelly will perish in that cave. Maybe Connie? I'm not sure yet, but I'm pointing more towards Connie. Kelly. I kind of made a mistake. Yeah, Kelly. I'm pointing more towards Kelly due to the hardships with her hearing in the beginning of the season. Because remember, Connie would point that out. She was having her ears on, and at the time with that pig when she was trying to kill it, and then everybody found her. I think those are going to provoke a problem within the cave, and then she winds up perishing. But that's just my thought. And plus, the thing that brought that on was on Talking Dead, Seth Gilliam mentioned something about tackling Cooper Andrews at a death day.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like he was describing Cooper Andrews.
Yeah.
He wasn't specifically identified, but yeah, I thought that myself. So we'll see if that ends up being the case, but that based on that little tidbit, I thought that might have been the case. But then again, he's a character that definitely could die, but
yeah, it's a possibility, I think, because but it's like
then again, Ezekiel's gonna die too.
I think towards the end, I have a funny feeling because I've been seeing things, you know, I get my eyes on the internet and people tell me things, and I have a funny feeling that we're probably going to get another phone call on the radio that Eugene gets, and it provokes towards the end of the season that they go somewhere. And I think King E goes out there because in original comics, it was actually Michonne that goes.
Maybe they still have medicines that can treat his cancer.
Hopefully. That would be great.
That would be great. I'm all for that, actually.
Yeah, same here. I'd love to keep seeing more Kari Payton on the show.
Definitely.
Yep.
All right. Kyle, what have you got?
I like how the show, and actually this is kind of how I had mentioned previously on stuff about Fear of the Walking Dead. It's like the funeral for Sadiq was like quite a nice touch. It's like they gave him like a proper Islamic funeral with the prayer to like the handful of dirt.
Yeah.
It's like, I love how they pay attention to those kind of details for the show and how they how they've handled religion on the shows. Cause it's one thing they could have been like, oh, he died and whatever, but they made kind of a very poignant and purposeful point to bury him the way they did because he was, Islamic. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And they used the prayer from the Quran, I believe.
Yeah.
Or a statement from the Quran.
Yeah. It's part of the funeral burials for the proper way to
I'll mention something that I've got in my notes here because it fits. I thought of a tie-in between this and first season episode, even though none of the characters were involved, but Wildfire, episode 5. There's a scene after a number of the characters at the camp die in that, when the walkers invade their little fish fry. And, of course, Amy was one of them. Mm-hmm. But Glenn got really upset and he said that, we don't burn our dead, we bury them. And yet they, of course, burned the walkers, but they buried their friends. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of that. And I think we've also seen in the past where they've like buried friends versus burned enemies. So, mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. Something I thought of.
Yeah, they buried Jesus, I believe, too.
Well, when Jesus was buried, he came up again 3 days later.
We need to get Tom Payne on here.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
The other last thing I had was just the Gabriel telling Rosita to get over it, basically. I kind of felt like we kind of needed him to deal with Alicia with her killing issues up here. I wrote down what he said, but I can't find it. It's just, he was just like, hey, it's feelings. You'll get over it. Move on.
Well, and she said something like, you're not listening to me. And he's like, yes, I am listening. You have, fear that you're not going to be able to
kill.
And I did hear you and you'll get over it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, I like that moment because it was very true, mm-hmm. Because he's got all these other things that he's worried about. Like he brings up a point that we, of course, brought up the previous week because we were wondering and like, how did Lydia not know him? And, what other things have been done and, how long has this been going on and all this stuff? And he's right to worry about those things and not to coddle Rosita. That's coddle may be the wrong word there, but just basically he's got the confidence to know that Rosita will work it out herself and he's not worried about her. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a good thing.
Yep. Well, that was it.
It occurred to me that we still don't know who freed Negan at this point. Yeah, you know, I had been thinking it had been by Carol, but now I'm not so sure anymore. Because Carol's behavior has been kind of irrational. It's been she hasn't been as calculating and cold. She is being, well, it's not that she's being irrational, but it's like Dante kind of said, it's funny how he even said to Carol about your decision-making things are, you know, will be challenged. And yet she goes ahead and does another thing that you have to question by going after Alpha and falling into,
it's a trap.
Because it definitely was, you know.
Maybe it was the first person we suspected all along when he first got away.
Who?
Father Gabriel.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah,
maybe it was him this time, and it wasn't the guard. And because he was very vocal at the time when they were trying to bring him to trial, and he said we should rest on it.
He did bring up, yeah, you're right, and he also brought up to Dante the idea of, you know, getting a second chance and essentially letting Negan out to go after Alpha was giving him a second chance. So it does fit. We don't see that, and maybe we're not supposed to. Good points.
Till next year.
Yeah. I hadn't thought of Gamma's sister's baby in a while, so as soon as she said that, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a driving force in Gamma, I think, and I think that was the underlying story tone.
Mm.
Because they were sisters, and her sister attacked Alpha, and I had that sneaking suspicion that even though, yeah, she forced everybody or getting her sister killed, there was a reason for her to, you know, now she's going to try to get along with Aaron to see this child. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I said everything else except for this one point. Speaking of that, there's been no Negan, Lydia, or Beta in this episode. They were completely missing.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we'll see them next time. Okay, so before we get into news ratings and info, we didn't get as many pieces of feedback this week as I thought. And I started like panicking this afternoon. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe I need to create some content. So I put up a couple of polls, and the first one I'll bring up the second one later. But it was to do with wanting to see what people thought of the season so far. And I gave them a whole bunch of different ways to answer this. But the question was, what did you think of the season so far? The number one answer was, great season, above average. And I'm looking at the current results. It won with 9 votes. The second most popular was good season, but above average. That got 4 votes. And okay season, but not my favorite, got 1 vote. Now, the other 4 possibilities that someone could have voted but didn't, we got no votes for these 4. Best season ever, one of the best seasons ever, but not my favorite. One of my least favorite seasons, and worst season ever. So we did get one bit of feedback, and that was from Danielle from the internet. I'm not sure where Danielle's from, but hello, Danielle. I think you're a recent member of the Facebook group. She says, I enjoyed the season, but it lacked consistency. Daryl was the worst. He can't take care of anything. He was better off in the woods by himself. Carol really is over the edge. It seems that no one has learned from past episodes. Still, I am excited for the next half. At least they've brought the suspense back. Yes, they have. All right, now it's time for news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
And this actually would maybe kind of explain why it didn't seem like we got as much feedback this week as I expected to. Ratings were down, which I'm surprised for a season, you know, mid-season finale like this. Ratings were actually down from the previous few weeks. It got a 1.02 in the 18 to 49, teetering yet again very close to the 1.0 rating with 3.214 million viewers, and that 1.02 is the all-time lowest 18 to 49 rating. We earlier got a 1.03 a few episodes back. Last week, it got a 1.12 and 3.311 million viewers. So down, I was really surprised. I thought it would be a little higher this week. Talking Dead was also down. It got a 0.29 in 1849 with 1.133 million. That is down from last week's 0.41 and 1.38 million viewers. And of course, last week we had Chandler Riggs, which I'm going to talk about him in a minute. But yeah, so I'm not too encouraged about that. I hope that ratings pick up for the mid-season premiere, but we'll see. The suggestion, I think LT had mentioned it, or maybe Clint, somebody last week mentioned Parrot Analytics. So I thought, okay, I'm going to start bringing in Parrot Analytics again. They do a thing that that company does, what they call demand expressions, and they look across social media to try to figure out like what shows are most popular on social media. So this week, The Walking Dead actually was down in the ratings, like in the where it was last week. It was ninth in overall, but still had a good total with 70,726,176 demand expressions. So top this week, and this is not a big surprise, but it's actually surprising because last week it wasn't very high, but The Mandalorian beat out everything, both on cable and on streaming, with over 100 million demand expressions. So, and yeah, so, and it's not, this measures not just things that are like on right now, like for example, Stranger Things and Game of Thrones are still, you know, rating, and both of those actually did better than Walking Dead this week. So, in info about this episode, I didn't catch the whole thing. In fact, I only caught a little bit of it before we started recording, but there is a feature on AMC.com. It's Inside the Walking Dead Season 10, Who Can the Survivors Trust? And that is just released. It wasn't even out the day of the episode. It came out, I think it came out today, because I looked yesterday and I didn't see anything. But it says the cast and creators take fans behind the scenes of the war with the Whisperers and break down how Alpha has sowed chaos and turned the survivors against each other. So I don't know if you need AMC Premiere for that, but if you do have it, check it out. If you don't have it, sorry. I'm sure they'll probably make it available at some point, but
or find it on YouTube.
Yeah. All right. So it's already been mentioned, but they announced during the commercial break that the new spinoff series is called The Walking Dead World Beyond. And we did also find out that, and she's shown in the trailer, she's wearing one of those jackets with the three rings on it, coming out of a helicopter, it seems. But also in the cast is Julia Ormond, and I've known her from, I think she was in Legends of the Fall. She was in a lot of things, especially in the 90s, but she's a really good actress. So it seems like she's playing a baddie based on what we see her doing, which I think is an interesting bit of casting because I don't think she's really known for playing her bad guys, but for playing villains, but it should be interesting. And it was a point that Ken from Chicago, he saw it and his impression, I have to say, much like impressions that I've had on this, he says, hashtag World Beyond looks like they are really making hashtag Walking Dead for hashtag the CW. The end of the world was just the beginning for us, in quotes. And that is true. But we did a second poll, and that was, I wanted to ask people how excited they were about the new series, you know, and we've heard more about it and all that. So the number one answer, also with 9 votes this time, was excited. We'll probably watch the season. That got 9 votes. Somewhat excited, we'll watch the first episode or two and see from there. That got 3 votes. 1 vote for interested, we'll watch the first episode, may DVR, watch it on demand or when it's available for streaming. That got 1 vote. The other options were can't wait, we'll definitely be watching every episode. Cautious, may watch the first episode, but only if I hear good things. Unsure, I haven't made up my mind. Not sure if I'll watch. Not very interested, I'll only watch it if I hear it's worth watching. Not at all interested, I probably won't watch it. Or World Beyond what? I haven't heard about the show. But anyway, no one voted for those. Megan from Pennsylvania, she mentioned this. She says, somewhat excited, and will definitely watch it all because I'm a sucker.
And she will.
Yeah, and I will be covering it, so.
And that'll be a good thing, though.
Yeah. And I am definitely going to watch it, but in terms of podcasting for it, I will say I'll see how the first couple of episodes are be. Mm-hmm. I will say I will be on the first episode, and I'm not going to make any commitments beyond that. And a lot of that, listeners, has to do with other commitments that I have. I'm about to undertake the Star Trek Picard cast, which, you know, Star Trek Discovery got the record of 28 pages of feedback in one episode. I have a feeling that's going to be every episode for Picard.
Oh, definitely, dude. You know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it may be we have to release a daily episode of Picard.
Yeah, every 50-year-old that's out there that loves Star Trek Next Generation and loves Picard is going to be writing in, trust me.
I have a feeling that's going to be the case. So yeah, that's something that I literally, when it comes to Picard, I'm going to say this, listeners. If I'm not back for the whole 10B, it's going to be because Picard's kept me way too busy. I will if I do that, I will try to do what I did last time, which is basically to like put in as much Brian content as I can every week, but maybe not host, but I may host. We'll just see. I just don't want to commit to it yet. Because unfortunately, when The Walking Dead comes back, it's going to be about 5 episodes into Picard. So, yeah. So, anyway, I just want to be straight with everybody. Let you know. I don't want it to be a surprise if I'm not around next, the second half of the season. But I will try to be.
So basically, Brian is saying Trek or dead.
Trek or dead. Yeah. Yeah. I have to pace myself because the last season with doing both, it just about killed me.
Yeah, so, I know. And Kyle and I will be there, and we'll probably have an assortment of other people.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also want to say, we didn't say that, but, you know, Kyle throughout this half season has been editing for us, and you haven't heard him much, but tell you, he's been a godsend for us.
Yes.
I just want to make sure that I give you the thanks and the gratitude that you deserve for everything you've been doing. So
thank you.
Mark, you had a news story.
Oh, yeah. I actually mentioned this on Panels to Pixels on my podcast about comic books turned to TV shows and movies and whatnot. We always bring in a lot of news, so this one is particular to Walking Dead. So the Alien dropped from Skybound this weekend for comic book store day this past Saturday. And originally the Alien was a digitally owned comic book that came out about a year and a half to 2 years ago.
Yeah. I remember it. It was Brian K. Vaughan that did it. Is that
yes. Right?
Yeah.
And the way that the comic book was issued out originally is that you could pay whatever you want. You don't have to pay anything. So they didn't make anything really on this comic, but they chose this particular last weekend to put it out on actual printed format. So on comic book store day, not comic book day, because comic book day, as all you know, May the 4th be with you. It's always May 4th or that weekend.
Oh, so there's a comic book store day and a comic book day?
Correct.
Did anyone tell them that's confusing?
Yeah.
No, but a lot of comic enthusiasts know the difference between it. So,
okay, so what is the difference?
The difference is comic book day is free comic books. So you could go into any particular comic book store and that participates in free comic book day, and that's why they call it comic book day. But comic book store day is pretty much reveling in the idea of we have comic book stores. So with this, Skybound had issued out this to have a printed form of the actual comic book, The Alien, which was about Jeff Grimes, which was Rick Grimes' brother in the show, in the comic, and his encounter of the zombie apocalypse in Barcelona. And like I said before, the comic was issued digitally about a year and a half to 2 years ago, and you could pay whatever you want or get it for free. And not many people did participate in it. I have it. I paid $3 because that was the running rate for the comic books at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was issued out to only those that participated in comic book store day this past weekend. So if you're eager to get this copy, this physical copy, you could still find it on Amazon or eBay, and I recommend it because I don't think you could even find it on Skybound at this point on its website for a free digital download. So if you are interested in that story, I suggest you read it because it's an interesting – it's a short story. It's not huge. It's not long, but it's available out there.
So this printed version, this is something you had to pay for to get? Yeah. Or was it?
Yeah, it was limited edition. It was, I think it was $3.99.
So what this tells me is that Comic Book Day is where you get free comic books.
Correct.
And Comic Book Store Day is when you get really rare and expensive comic books.
Rare? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah, that is true. Because I had to pick up a comic today. It wasn't actually a comic. It was a trade, hardcover trade paperback of Batman Deceased. So I got that today. And that was leftover.
Is that a zombie Batman?
Pretty much.
Batman Deceased.
Yeah, pretty much. It's think of like a zombie apocalypse or some sort of virus that creates things like that. And that's part of his world.
That was a guess.
Yeah.
not even a good guess. It was more of a half-hearted guess.
Yeah, I never picked up that comic, so I was like, oh, they have all the issues and the extra? Awesome. I'm picking this up, so I picked that up today. And you could also pick up the, I believe the fourth compendium is also out, as well as the 16th hardcover of The Walking Dead, which finalizes the Walking Dead actual comics. So if you guys are enthusiasts or eager or interested in actually collecting some of these and reading along, because the comic is very different from the show in a lot of respects. So if you look at the governor, what had happened within the first season or two or three seasons, it's very different from the show. So if you want to venture off into the comic book world and get into The Walking Dead, I always recommend it.
We have one more story, and it's kind of ironic because Chandler Riggs was on Talking Dead last week, and there was a report that I saw elsewhere posted, and I posted it on the Facebook group today. Chandler Riggs suffered a concussion last week while falling off a horse. So, what I gathered is that he was riding a horse. I didn't get that he rode a horse from, if he was in a show that had him riding a horse, but I don't know. It doesn't really say that, but it says that, it looks like he was going to be okay. Let's say he's thrown off his horse yesterday afternoon. But he was wearing a helmet. And so I don't know.
It might have been training for an episode where he had to ride a horse, or maybe he was training too.
Yeah. He is on a show called A Million Little Things on ABC.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a full cast member or if he's recurring, but I guess he's on there quite a bit now.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen that show at all, but it said that he took the first flight out to LA, so I guess it happened while he was in LA, because this tweet's from his mother. So yeah. And he was, the picture actually shows him like in the hospital. So he must have been bad enough that he had to be, you know, hospitalized. But
yeah, his head got thrown around in a helmet, and what that does is rattle your brain. And he had some memory loss. He had short-term memory loss, and he couldn't remember certain things. So he actually tweeted about it a few times where people were rattling off what he was talking about, and he couldn't even remember it. And when they brought it back up to him, he couldn't even remember that. So yeah, that it's kind of hard. Even with a helmet, you're still not protected, because apparently his head got so rattled that his brain got shifted around in his skull, kind of similar to what happens to football players.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, I mean, that happens a lot with football players, with hockey players,
yeah.
You know, like the helmet can like absorb some of the
shock, the
impact, but it doesn't, it doesn't completely eliminate the all of the shock. So, anyway, hopefully he will recover nicely from that. Sorry to hear about it, though. So, all right. Let's tell people how to interact with us. But before we do that, I want to finally say, and I did not realize this today until Kyle let me know, finally, our long ordeal with Facebook is over. TalkThroughMedia.com is now working on Facebook and Messenger. I haven't tried it on Instagram, but I assume it works on Instagram as well. So we are no longer blocked, and thank goodness. And we shouldn't have been blocked in the first place. I never got an explanation as to why we were blocked, never got anything to tell me that they had removed it. It just simply was removed. And when I look at, there were some things that I had appealed with Facebook, and when I look at them, they still say that they're in review. So
yeah.
I don't know if it just simply went off and the ban was removed due to like a time delay, you know, that it was kept on, or if it was removed due to the actions of someone, actually a person that removed it. I don't know, but yeah. The main thing is we are now fully functional on Facebook. So, and I'm very glad for that, because it really has been a pain in the butt to deal with. So anyway, just wanted to start with that. But otherwise, Kyle, since you haven't been around, but you used to do it with fear, why don't I let you tell people how to interact with us?
All righty. All right. We want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter, and you can find us at Walking Dead GSM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and you can find that at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. And we'd like to encourage you to use our email, our new email address, and that's at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. And our new feedback form is at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. And you can also call us at 216-232-6146. And now, since we're on the hiatus, the deadline for the next episode is set for our regular day and time, which is going to be 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, Tuesday, February 25th. And you can also go to our podcast Facebook page, which is the facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And as Brian stated, we are now able to post. And so we will be able to post all of our episodes for all our shows on there and share them. We do, you know, recommend that you go like us over there, you know, share the posts for our shows, because one of the best things that helps us out is word of mouth. So there you go.
Yeah, they still don't allow you to like recommend or like a group, but you can like a Facebook page. So if you want to help us out, by you can like recommend us, write a little review to us on Facebook. That helps immensely. Just, you know, we're still a fledgling network of podcasts, so we need to get the word out still. And that's why what happened to us last month was quite painful, because we've just been trying to get, you know, things forward, and for us to get stopped like that, it was wrong, but it was also really unfortunate. So one of the best ways you can support us is to subscribe, or should I say, to become a patron at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. We would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Steve Brown, Alex Baelish, and Lawrence Todd. And remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them. Tell a friend, because word of mouth is one of the best ways to get us new listeners. Whatever podcast client that you choose, assuming you choose one, remember to subscribe to us. That will allow you to get new episodes when they are released. If you use Apple Podcasts, and there are some others that allow you to do it, like Stitcher, and I think CastBox allows you to comment on things, as does I think Podcast Republic. But any way that you can help to encourage other people to be able to find us is we appreciate. At Apple Podcasts, for example, you can leave us a rating or review. It's been a while, but we finally got a review in Canada. So I'd like to thank Sir Caesar for the recent 4-star review. We hope to get 5, but there was some good comments on the thing. So, you know, we certainly appreciate a 4. 4 is a lot better than a 1. So, but yes, anything like that helps other people find us. So, now that our little problem with Facebook is resolved, we can continue to work on the website and improve it and make it easier to use. This is probably going to be our last episode during the hiatus. So, because as I mentioned before, I will be focused on the 2 Star Trek podcasts until the season premiere, but we haven't talked about this between the 3 of us, but we'll probably maybe do another Patreon show, I think, between now and the hiatus, at least one. So the 3 of us will talk about that a little bit. Hey guys, I think we should do a Patreon show.
yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's a good thing. And also we need to do like a tea and bananas for Patreon as well.
Oh yes. Oh, that's where we could do it, Kyle. We could do a tea and bananas. Yeah, there you go. Brilliant. And that way, no pressure, because it'll only be Patreon people. Yeah. So, as previously mentioned, the first episode of the Star Trek Picard cast is out. We've got some things that'll be coming out very soon for that podcast. Now that Walking Dead is over for a little while, we're going to be ramping that up. And Ruthie and me are also going to be releasing some new episodes of the Star Trek Discovery podcast. So remember to get both those episodes or both those shows to either subscribe to our Talk Through Media feed, which gets you all of the shows, or subscribe to the 2 Star Trek podcasts individually. So as far as the Talk Through Media feed, we haven't really covered that too much or pushed that too much, but if you search in your podcast client for Talk Through Media, it may say Talk Through Media all-inclusive feed. That'll get everything. Then you're covered. So, and that includes this show and Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through and the Star Trek stuff and anything else we release going forward. And that's it for now, but we do have at least 2 Discovery episodes coming out within the next week or 2. So definitely one will be coming out within the next week. I just have to get Ruthie pinned down to get it recorded. So we've been trying to figure out a date to record those episodes. So we'll hopefully get that done over the Thanksgiving. Mark, what about you?
Well, you could listen to me on Panels to Pixels on the Next Level Radio Podcast Network. We're currently in the pretty much heading towards the end at some point. We're coming on to episode 6 this coming weekend. So Steve and I will be recording Friday night, and that will be released on Sunday. So if you have any feedback for Watchmen Season 1, Episode 6, This Extraordinary Being. And you have any thoughts on it come Sunday night? You want to throw us, you know, before Friday night that just, you know, released. That would be amazing. And then that way we could, you know, read your feedback. You know, we love our listeners. We have a bunch. We just don't get much of any feedback. People listen. I noticed, I do get, I guess I'm going to have to do one of those one-off weird movie comic book shows because I got one last year about Spider-Man 1977. And apparently that intrigues people. So if you have an interest in Watchmen and, are interested, send feedback our way. Just, give us a shout out, even if it's on our Facebook page. It'd be amazing.
Kyle, do you have anything else going on?
Not really. Not. I'll just be editing this. Hopefully we'll get this out before Thanksgiving.
All right. So our next episode is season 10, episode 9.
Yeah.
The title hasn't been released yet, but we do know the release date is February 23rd, 2020, which we had already mentioned this a week or two later than we thought it would be. We don't know why, but I'm pretty sure we're going to find out why. So anyway, we don't have a description or anything beyond that, but any predictions?
Well, I just put in just from what we saw, you know, with the clip after, you know, at the end of the episode where they show, you know, what's coming up. And basically, you know, we've kind of, you guys had talked about, you know, how long is this Whisper, you know, storyline going to go? Like, when are we going to possibly get to the Commonwealth or, like, you know, other things beyond this? Well, I think we have our answer from the, you know, the deal at the end that was basically this Whisper's War is going to last until the end of the season. And it seems,
yeah,
be where it's going to head to. Like, the Roman fighting strategy that they were rehearsing at the beginning will come into play. And it looks like we'll get some deaths. And I'm looking at you, Jerry, because that was a really, really not a really great clip of him in this hole being like looking like he was being chomped on. And, you know, we talked about Michonne. She'll probably be missing in action till probably the final few episodes, is my guess. And that's pretty much it.
Well, the one thing that I'm expecting is that we'll see Maggie appear probably in the last episode.
Oh, definitely.
Beyond that, I thought that maybe we would end up seeing Alpha killed this episode. That did not happen.
No, I was hoping that.
So I guess we're going to see this go on until, yeah, whether or not she dies this, you know, in the season finale, I don't know, but I don't expect her to go beyond next season, because if it goes into next season, it's just the Saviors and Negan all over again.
Mm-hmm. So, I give it 3 to 4 episodes until we see the end of the Whisper War. That's just
so my, you don't prediction. Think it's gonna, you don't think it's gonna go to the end of the season?
No. The reason why I think this is, well, think about it. When we got the Saviors, how long did that take? Literally from when we first saw them or first saw Negan all the way to the end of when he finished.
It's
almost they were two first, seasons.
They were, the Saviors were first mentioned in season 6, episode 6, Always Accountable.
Yes.
And then we see them again, I think, at the end of season 6, episode 8, if I'm not mistaken. And then we definitely see them at season, which is, was it time? Was it time to? The No Way Out, season 6, episode 9, that's when we see that group blown up. And then the, you know, into it plays out through season six until we finally meet Negan. season six, episode 16. And then, of course, the war with them goes into, you know, gets kind of, they're subjugated in season seven, and then the war happens in season eight.
Yeah.
So it's a whole thing, but it's basically 2.5 seasons of Negan.
Yeah.
Three quarters of a season of buildup of Negan, then actual Negan, and then war with Negan. So, and then it's prison, imprison Negan, and now escape Negan. So, you know.
I would be surprised if we get a full season of The Whispers at this point. I think everybody was kind of had a bad taste in their mouth from having that whole Savior War, all the Negan interaction throughout that time, and it felt like suffering. So I think they're going to try to shift the story so that way we overcome this obstacle of these people sooner than later. Because think about the ratings and how they dived and they dipped so badly with the Saviors at that time. People hated Negan.
Yeah, it would be smart for them to definitely kind of get past this, but still have room to go into what's next, which I was kind of surprised to see that there was not some little hint of a Commonwealth, a hint of a, you know, Lauren Cohan's face popping up real quick. It was all about them fighting the Whispers and big hordes of, you know, walkers everywhere. And, you know,
Because the only thing that we've seen of any hint of that would have been Stephanie on the radio with Eugene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know where she is. You know, we don't necessarily know that Maggie is with the Commonwealth or with one of those three places. We don't know. So
they could always keep the Whispers around as a nuisance, maybe.
I don't think.
I don't think so. Yeah, I feel like that it'll come to an end. I was just kind of thinking from what we just, even the glimpse that they showed us, it was just like, oh, it's just about the war. And so that's going to be, you know, second to last episode. And then we get kind of like that palate cleanser of like, okay, it's over. And then here's, you know, whatever. But
well, they gave us a palate cleanser at the last episode of last season. And that didn't go so well.
you mean the storm?
Yeah. So I have a funny feeling.
A lot of people love that episode. It just happened to be that I wasn't one of them, and neither were you. So,
but I'm also saying that, you know, maybe they're thinking that with writing wise, they'll probably only do it within like maybe when they come back, it'll be episode 9. So they have to get Michonne gone and ship her out for Danai. And then
I think she's already gone, though.
Yeah. Well, she's already filmed. But I'm just saying that we have to see her go in some way and have her ship out. And then then find some sort of resolution or some sort of big thing to happen within the Whispers. And, you know, these are spoilers for the comic, but eventually Alpha is no more at some point, and then, you know, basically, you know, there's remnants, and that's all you get. So whether or not they try to drag that out is another story, but my feeling is if they do it in 4, they could actually eliminate the whole idea of the Whispers and move on to a different story arc. And the last half of or the last 3 or 4 episodes, they could do something.
Well, speaking of dragging it out,
I know we ended
it here. All right. Until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And I'm Kyle.
And this is the Walking Dead Talk Through. Kyle, was nice to have you back.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Kyle.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.